Wednesday, November. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 12th, 2025 West County Board of Zoning Adjustments hearing. Roll call, please.
Chair Vovis?
Here.
Vice Chair Siebert? Member Lewis?
Here.
Member Santos?
Present.
Member Spaulding?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't have any announcements. And we do not have anything on the consent calendar, nor do we have any tobacco retailer regulation hearings. We do have one neighborhood preservation. Okay. These are the administrator hearings for the neighborhood preservation and Alameda County zoning ordinances. Items on today's agenda have been scheduled because the owner has not complied with a notice to abate a nuisance. As the enforcement body, we will hear and consider all relevant evidence, objections, or protests, and receive testimony as to the means of abating the alleged nuisance. For the board to find that a nuisance has been abated, the owner must show proof that the nuisance has been rehabilitated, repaired, removed, or demolished. If you cannot show proof of abatement, then we may find that a public nuisance does exist on your property and that there is sufficient cause to abate the nuisance. This board will then issue an order specifying the nature of the nuisance and the method of abatement. The abatement work must be commenced and completed in not less than 10 or more than 60 calendar days. The board's order will reference your right to appeal our decision. You will have 10 days from the date of service of the order to appeal to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. A copy of the findings and order will be served on all owners of the property in the same manner that notice of this hearing was given. In addition, a copy of the findings and order will be posted on or near the property. Any fines imposed by this board may be reduced or waived upon determination of hardship or special circumstances. Okay, staff, can we have the first item?
Yes, the first item on the Neighborhood Preservation and Zoning Ordinance Abatement Hearing is for 1916 East Street in Hayward, and we have Code Enforcement Officer Juan Carlos Martinez here to present the matter.
Evening, members of the board. Again, the item before you is 1916 East Street, Hayward, California, 94541, APN number 426-0070-035-00. Case number COD 2025-01229. This is for violation of Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance Section 6.65.030 A1, 3, and B6 for overgrown weeds and vegetation, accumulation of trash and debris, and unapproved storage of inoperable vehicles on the property. The pertinent facts are as follows. On September 18th, conducted a site visit and confirmed the violations listed above. On September 23rd, a declaration of public nuisance notice to abate was mailed to the property owner by regular mail. On October 7th, I conducted a site reinspection. I didn't observe any progress there, but I did notice that there was additional vegetation on the roof near the entryway. I mentioned this because we actually did send a different notice, but the documentation was unfortunately lost, just a clerical error, so we omitted that. Same day, October 7th, a notice of failed reinspection, fines and fees assessed, was sent to the property owner by regular and certified mail. On October 21st, I conducted a site reinspection. Again, no progress observed. I did attempt contact, knocked on the door. There was no answer. I left my business card there on the door. And on October 24th, a notice of failed reinspection and notice to abate and a notice of administrative hearing was mailed to the property owner by certified and regular mail. Previous violations. Yes, there are previous violations at the property. Two cases, one in 2019 and 2022. In 2019, it was for inoperable vehicles and an accumulation of trash on the property that was owner abated. In 2022, similar inoperable vehicles, trash, and overgrown vegetation. That was unresolved. The inspector at the time resolved the vegetation and the trash on the property, the vehicles. It was just left unresolved, unfortunately. They provided time to the person and then never got resolved. I have not had any contact with the property owner, and the property is believed to be vacant. Staff recommendation is to declare the property in violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance, a public nuisance, and require abatement within 10 days.
Questions of staff?
The owner goes.
So,
the prior contact in 2022, was there?
Was. There was contact with the daughter from the property owner. I've reviewed the case files as well as spoken with the inspector who handled the case. And there's unfortunately no record of contact, contact information, no phone numbers or anything like that for that person.
Oh, so there is the daughter contact information.
There's no documentation of it. At one time, the inspector did speak with the daughter, but we don't have an active number or any email or any contact information for them.
Okay, so you don't have a cell phone number.
Correct.
I would just, my concern is be there inside who may.
Just one additional thing in researching the property, there's public record showing that it looks like the property taxes have not been paid in 5 years. They recently received a notice of power to sell. So it looks like the property might have been vacant for quite some time. I'm sorry, did you want me to continue with the photos? I don't. Going through, these are these exhibits that were attached. This is from the initial inspection on September 18th. There was an RV at the time that I was there. On a subsequent visit, I spoke with a neighbor who said that they believe that the RV comes by once every couple months, stays a night, and then leaves. They think that it's affiliated with the property, but I did not get any contact information for them. Exhibit 4 is from the reinspection on October 7th. Exhibit 6 is from the reinspection on October 21st. Items in the driveway. And you'll see in Exhibit 9 and 10 that the front is quite overgrown, and it looks like there's a lot of ivy on the roof. Blackberry bushes. I did reinspect today. I wasn't able to reinspect on Monday, and the condition is the same.
No contact.
I watched too much Law and Order, but it looks like we got a license plate there for the RV. Is it possible to figure out who owns it and contact them?
I was reviewing the photos because I noticed that I had been there when the RV was there. I didn't find out the RV was a potentially contact until after, and none of the photos captured the license plate clearly, unfortunately.
That's just
clear enough.
I'm just wondering if the RV shows up.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody's in agreement on that. Okay, so you.
I had one question about, by chance, are those the same inoperable vehicles that were there back in the back in 22?
They are. They're the same ones.
Same ones.
Wow.
Any other questions for staff? And I'll open up.
I don't.
Okay, I'll open up the public hearing. Do we have anyone online?
Anybody would like to speak on the first item on the neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance abatement hearing, please raise your electronic hand or hit star nine. There are not any hands raised.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion. Staff's recommendation and declare the property in violation. The neighborhood or require abate.
Second.
We have the vote.
All right, can I interject? This is County Council. Hello, it's Katie Hall, your old friend. I apologize I wasn't able to attend in person tonight. I just wanted to point out that the abatement order that's attached to the agenda has the hearing time at 1:30 p.m. So if I could request that we move to approve, but change the abatement order to say that this was at 6 p.m., that would be appreciated.
Right. To that the motion includes modifying the abatement order to
Correct.
Show that the hearing was held at 6 p.m., not at 1:30. Thank you, Council.
Great, thank you.
It's Katie.
Bring the volume down.
You scared us.
I'm the voice of Oz behind the curtain. You're welcome. Thank you.
We're just a telecommunication person.
Okay, so we have a motion by Member Spaulding and a second by Member Lewis with the modification on the meeting time.
Modify that to show the correct time. The second. The second.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. We have the vote, please.
Chair Bovis.
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Santos.
Aye.
Member Spaulding.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Have no alcoholic beverage sales regulations hearings. Next, we've got open forum. If there's anyone that wishes to speak on an item not on the agenda, please raise your hand. Dean, do we have any hands raised for open forum?
I do not have any hands raised for open forum.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close open forum, and we do not have anything for field trip. Regular calendar, can we have item number one, staff?
Yes. Item number one on the regular calendar is PLN 2021-186, conditional use permit for Centerline Communications representing T-Mobile located at the Church of the Nazarene. And we have staff planner Michael Fleming here to present the item.
Oh, hello. Hi, my name is Michael Fleming. I'm with the Alameda County Planning Department. This is item number one on the regular calendar, PLN 2021-00186, conditional use permit to allow demolition of a former wireless telecommunications site and the construction of a new telecommunications site in a different location on the same parcel for T-Mobile. The owner is the Church of the Nazarene. The applicant is Fuyo Cruz at Centerline Communications. It's located at 2301 Miramar Avenue, north side, 50 feet east of Miramar Place. It's APN 084A00400212. It is exempt from CEQA 15303 Class 3, new construction of small structures. Here is the site. It is zoned R1 RVHO, which stands for single family residence, recreational vehicle parking, and hillside overlay. It's in the Castro Valley General Plan's RH, hillside residential. As you can see here in the picture, here is the cross, and the equipment site is right below it. And this is the neighborhood that's most directly affected. A little background on this project. In December 13, 2021, CMAC voted all in favor with one excuse to allow for continued operation, which was actually with a larger cross size at the time. The next hearing on January 12th, 2022, the West BZA voted 5-0. They didn't like the larger cross design and would like to see the site moved to the other side of the church, citing residents that were upset with the location. On July 14, 2022, the applicant came back with to keep the original size of the cross and not have any changes. It went back to the West BCA on September 28th, 2022, and they voted 5-0 to continue, citing their original arguments. For about 3 years, the applicant was surveying the site to try to find a new location that was viable. We had communication back and forth over those years. It took until about this summer when they were getting ready to go to a hearing again. And on October 15th, they came back with revised plans. For in that 3 years time, we did have a meeting with them, and I talked with the applicant today, and there was their feeling during the meeting that we had was that we were okay with them just moving the cross and leaving the equipment area. But from the minutes from the previous hearings, many of the complaints were from the equipment area. So not really sure how that got miscommunicated. That's partly why the applicant was requesting a continuance for tonight, because I think they want to change their drawings to hopefully move the equipment area, but they can speak a little bit more on that when they talk. Our final citing on this case was that since they're not moving the equipment area, we can't really support it because the neighborhood, that's what they were dead set against. I have some pictures coming up. Here's the site plan. Just give me a second. This showing the equipment area staying where it is, and then showing cable lines going to the new cross site. This is the CMU wall that they had planned to put around the equipment area to stop the noise. That was one of the major complaints. There's some antennas. The old cross is actually a little bit smaller than the one they're proposing, but it's not, the one they're proposing is not that much bigger either. It's the same height. It's only about 2 feet wider. The cross arms are a little bit wider themselves, but the actual overall height and width is pretty similar to the original design. And the reason why they're proposing another cross is because the church, who is their client, would like to have another cross to replace the cross that they had. We had told them before that we are looking for a faux tree because there was complaints of the cross being too large and too just stuck out like a sore thumb, according to residents. But the client of the applicant wants another cross because they're a church and they want to have a cross. So this is what they had come up with. This is an existing picture of what it looks like now with the current cross. This is the new cross and the new location of where it would be. As you can see, it's a little bit kind of thicker, about the same height, maybe a little bit lower down on the hill. It's lower down on the hill, but it's about the same height off the ground. Here are some existing pictures and some proposed pictures. So from this neighborhood here, this is another neighborhood that's fairly close to the cross. The existing, here's from this side, on the other side of Miramar. And then proposed, it sticks out, in this neighborhood, it doesn't stick out as far. And here, it's fairly prominent. I had gone to the neighborhood that was directly affected by the cross, also the neighborhood that has the representation, legal representation, and I had taken pictures just to show how close things are. This is it from looking up down the hill. This is the court of the neighborhood, and it's literally right where their mailboxes are. And if you look at the next slide over, the cross is here, and the distance between the equipment area and this person's porch is about 26 feet. And in the next slide, you see the cross and the equipment area is about 30 feet from the other person's house. So it's both sides of the cross, it's about 30 feet from the equipment area to the neighboring resident. We don't really need to go over this too much, but this is just some findings that telecom is definitely needed, and the findings will show that the telecom is needed in any given place. Just about, they usually always meet the findings. But the reason why we are not supporting this project is because of the neighborhood outrage. So staff recommends that the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments deny conditional use permit PLN 2021-00186, allowing demolition of a former wireless telecommunications site and the construction of a new telecommunications site in a different location on the same parcel for T-Mobile, as seen on Exhibit A, October 15, 2025. The Exhibit A is the plans in their packet. I think the Exhibit A somehow got taken off the plans, but the plans that are in your packet is the Exhibit A. So that, and those are the ones that were in the slide as well. If there's any questions for staff, we are available.
Thank you. Any questions for staff?
The neighbor's complaint about the cross is aesthetic, right?
No, noise.
Well, that's the equipment. Yeah. Cross is
it's aesthetic. It's they, you know, not everyone is a person who likes crosses. I can say
You know, I think the church, there was another church there, it's now converted into housing, but the church is probably older than the houses there. So the church was probably there when the houses were built. So if it's noise with the equipment, I'm sure the owner's going to talk. I'm wondering if they've looked into some sound engineering, because you could put up some sound walls above the around the equipment and bring the noise level down. I'm familiar with a company in LA, and they have done some sound abatement on some of these new hydrogen energy producing facilities in the Bay Area that are quite loud. And I think if it's the noise of the equipment and the owner doesn't want to move the equipment, then the owner needs to environmental noise.
The applicant had told me that part of their continuance is that they will have a new sound study to show what the sound will be with the new CMU wall.
New wall's not going to come.
Okay. Well, that's just a little tidbit.
The owner wants, I can put him in touch with the company.
Okay. Very good.
Other questions for staff?
Yeah. So you're telling us that the applicant was not aware that they were to remove the equipment?
That's what they told me this morning.
Must have been asleep during the meeting.
Because we were here.
Yeah,
We
no,
were
I was here
and
too.
there's no way.
Because it was mainly about sound, and I don't think there's any sound coming from across.
No.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about.
There's also a safety complaint also about them being so close. That the previous, they actually have new representation now, but the previous lawyer was citing that we don't really know if it's safe. I mean, according to authorities, it's safe, but who knows if you live close to these equipment sites for 30 years and you develop cancer for some reason and they never figure out why, you know? So there was definitely a safety concern also. So that's why they want the equipment area to move, so it's not 30 feet from people's houses. I mean, because it's even like where people park their cars, it's within, you know, 15 feet. So you get out of your car every morning and you're right next to this machine. You know, you don't know what it's doing to you.
Well, it's right in your face.
Yeah.
Right in your face.
And also heat and all kinds of things can happen. I have a question. I think maybe county council divide this up. The application is to allow the demolition of a former wireless telecommunication site. Can we grant that and say, yeah, get rid of it, demolish it? And then, and it says, and part two, construction of a new site at a different location. They don't have any exhibit A, or they do have an exhibit A, which leaves the equipment there, which also is contradictory. So can we divide this up and say, yeah, we'll grant the demolition of the former wireless communication site and deny the Exhibit A?
Sorry, can you show me where you see the
under
the
recommendation?
Demolition?
If you look at the staff report under recommendation, the application is two parts.
Oh,
and
okay.
The construct, yeah.
I mean, the application is to allow demolition of a former wireless telecommunication site, because point one is this already expired in 2017. So this is not supposed to be there at all, period.
Correct.
So grant that part and deny their exhibit A.
We don't have it.
Well, that their exhibit A is who knows what it is, but it's not adequate. And this,
but the exhibit A is in the packets. The plans are in the packet. I said when I was looking over the plans that it got mislabeled. The plans are in the packet is the exhibit A.
Right, and the exhibit A though leaves the equipment there.
It leaves the equipment there and puts a CMU wall up around it, and it runs cables around the church to a new location for the fatter cross.
And that is not what we talked about.
Oh.
Deny all of it.
Right, exactly. Right. That's an exhibit we don't want. So we deny exhibit A. So can we do that, council?
This is kind of a question I'd actually punt to staff. You're correct, and the conditional use permit is expired. So they're operating without a permit.
Right.
I don't believe you need a permit to deconstruct the equipment that's already there. That's not a conditional use permit per se.
That's what their application is.
Correct. But I'm saying that I don't think, I would argue more the conditional use permit is to relocate it to a different site. And that's what they're wanting, is because it's the use.
They're actually not relocating it to a different site. That's the problem.
They're relocating the cross.
Not the equipment.
Correct. But they are relocating the cross.
Right, but not the equipment. And so that's the problem, is the equipment.
Yes. So I my response would be, I don't believe a conditional use permit is the proper avenue to authorize demolition. I've never seen that, you know, like a CUP to
that's the application. That's what we're dealing with. That's the application.
Well, what I'm saying is my recommendation is that that's not approving half of that application. I do not believe is a proper mechanism. I don't think it needs to be approved. They can just do it. They don't need a CUP to demolish it.
Oh, I would agree, but I'm just noting that's the way the application's set up.
Well, that's why the recommendation is phrased. I would agree with that. Yes.
Right. Oh, assuming the recommendation's following the application,
Yeah.
that would be fine. Demolish it. Yes. That's their
But yeah,
application.
I think if you approve or deny the application today, they can still demolish the equipment regardless of that approval or denial.
But they won't. That's the problem.
Well, the application is not an affirmative requirement that they demolish it.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Maybe a different avenue would be to cite that they're in violation of their expired conditional use permit for over 8 years. And I don't even think you have to revoke it at this point. It's not valid.
Right, but
Correct.
so
Code
it's so
enforcement.
if anything, there should be cause to agendize this for revocation. No, this not revoked. It's already done. It's
It's
expired.
expired. It would be more
Maybe
requests
on.
to code
So
enforcement.
this is really an enforcement case.
It
Planning
could be.
enforcing the expiration of.
Typically, planning staff will not go after or will not pursue the operators if there is a valid conditional use permit application within the planning department. So it's not it's not bad on code enforcement. We would have told them, don't go after them. They're working with us.
It's an active application.
Yes.
Is there something
Okay.
Right.
their application is to demolish at present location? Although obviously they would need to amend or modify that application because they're not demolishing anything.
Demolishing the cross.
It's only part of it. It says
That is true.
site. It says the demolition of the wireless site.
Site.
The application, and it's what the
And the construction of a new telecommunication
right
site at a
at a
different
different
location
location.
on the same parcel.
That is correct.
And that's what their application is. So, I mean, that's why I think this has gone on so long, and they have just taken advantage of the staff.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a revocation, but they are out of compliance.
They're definitely out of
Out of
compliance.
compliance for 8 years.
They have not shown any good faith to rectify the situation. The neighbors, and it really reflects badly because the neighbors really did come.
Representation.
Just to be clear, we had written it the way it's written here, and that is what the application, but the application's also for a continued operation of the site. So it's not just it would have been better if we had put also for continued operation, because there already is a site there. If they had renewed it right on time, it would just be a continue for continued operation. That would be what the CUP would be for. But since it's gone on for so long, we just didn't write it that way this time. But that's part of the application also.
Yeah, shouldn't it also be because when there's this long delay and gap in time, there's a requirement they have to satisfy the new requirements to.
Yes, it is a new application at this point.
Okay, it's being
And
treated that way as a new.
once, so for CU, for telecom, once a site has expired, they don't get to renew it anymore. They have to, it's a new application going forward.
And the and defining site, it's split into two pieces. So like it's one site, it's like two sites.
So do we want to?
There are some people that would like to speak.
Okay, well, open up the public hearing, and I guess do we probably have the applicant or the applicant's representation?
I do see the applicant online, but their hand is not raised. Oh, okay. Oh, excuse me. I saw the same name on this application, so excuse me.
Oh, sorry, I didn't have a speaker card for you.
You'll have to fill out a card afterwards, sir.
Okay,
Yeah,
no problem.
please.
Microphone on.
Speak in the mic. Yeah, speak in the microphone.
Let us know. Yes. State your name and so you. Forth.
My name is Aaron Della O with Centerline Communications, representing T-Mobile on this project. Clearly, you all have a lot more history on this than I do. So I apologize for that. I also have on Zoom with me Gio Cruz and Rod De La Rosa, and they can speak on some of the history of the project and on T-Mobile's behalf. I have some things that I'd like to just address because I read through the staff report, and planning staff is recommending that the BZA here deny this application for moving the site. The application is not just to demolish and then remove the site. The demolishing and the moving of the cross and the site to the other side of the property is one application. The purpose of it is to keep the site up and running. Clearly, when a site becomes a part of the overall network of the wireless carrier and for the community, it becomes something that everybody relies on. And this site is important. It covers a part of Miramar Avenue and 580. So to just have it removed is what we've been trying to avoid. So reading through the staff report, what I didn't see was a mention of the sound wall, which T-Mobile intended to put in. That would be the CMU wall. Whether or not that is effective as Mr. Santos said, or not, will be determined by a sound study, which we have commissioned and will probably be ready in a couple of weeks. We've done sound mitigation measures, whether it's curtains or whatever, to mitigate the sound. And even if necessary, it seems that the public's main complaint about the sound is the generator, because the cabinets don't give off much sound. So this generator is there to run the site in the case of a extended power outage. We live in the Bay Area. Those could be catastrophic, could be something minor. But if they're catastrophic, having cellular service up and running, especially in an area that's covering high traffic vehicle areas and a freeway, is very important. It's a matter of public safety. So we've been working with staff, and we'll be happy to work with the HOA and their representation to figure out a way to make this site work again, rather than just taking it down, because it is in the center also of a residential area, and finding a new site is just, it's probably impossible. So to that end, I know I'm here and going to ask for more time for us to get that noise study back and figure out if that's going to work or if we have to move just the generator to the other side of the parcel. That could be done as well. There's something that we need to work out other than leaving a hole in coverage.
Questions?
Yeah, I have a comment. You know, if this is so important, why didn't you take care of it in 2017 when it expired? I mean, this delay is ridiculous. It is 2025 going on 2026 in another month. And now you want more? The staff has bent over backwards for you on this. 3 years is ridiculous. And now you have to have more studies? You should have done that during the last hearing, which was already held after your permit expired. Your permit expired. You didn't even have a hearing until after that permit expired. You didn't even apply until after that permit expired.
It's probably correct. And I honestly cannot speak to that history.
For you to sit there and have all these justifications, how needed you are, you have not acted that way. Your actions have not reflected that. Your actions have been, oh yeah, well, so what? So that's why it's kind of difficult to accept. If this is so important, why weren't you guys on top of it? And why are you, after 3 years of extensions, you now need more time? I mean, this, think about it, if you're a resident and who is a citizen and you come to a hearing, the board makes a decision and nothing happens for years. Oh, but they need more time. You know, it's like, what is going on? There's a problem here.
As far as I know, we've been trying to figure out a way to make it work.
Well, certainly haven't documented. If you have, you have not done it in a very diligent manner. It should not take you 8 years.
What happened in 2017?
Is when it expired.
I do not know.
And you sat on it and you guys just let it go. So that's why, well, if you let it expire, it can't be that important, can it? That's what T-Mobile's decision was. They let it expire. So I don't know how you can say it's important, because they didn't take any action on it. And if it's so important, they should have been on top of it.
Well, all I can say is for the last few years, we've been trying to make it work. And
years that and you haven't found anything. Please do not tell us that. I mean, there's parking lots in this place. There's lots of areas.
Right. So if the noise from the generator is the primary concern, let's move it to the other side of the building.
You do that right now. And maybe by doing that, that would have shown a good faith effort to try to address the concerns of the community.
Seems that the concerns of the community were a little bit more than that, but moving the cross to the other side.
We were here.
You're right, I wasn't.
We're here, and there are people who were right next door and testified and gave their horror stories.
All right, well, I've made my pitch to try and keep this site up and running.
This is a problem. We're making our record. T-Mobile has had lots of time. T-Mobile let this expire. T-Mobile sat on it for years. And if T-Mobile is interested in the concerns of the community, T-Mobile has had over 3 years to move the generator or put in something better or do something while it's looked. And it hasn't.
Okay, so what is the solution now?
We gave the solution.
Well, we have
moved the entire site. Is that right?
We finished taking public testimony. We finished taking public testimony, and then we make a determination on your present application.
Okay, that application is to move the cross to the other side of the parcel.
Based on Exhibit A, which is.
Which is a set of drawings which shows the old site and the proposed new site.
Which does not move the equipment.
Correct. And if you would consider approving that with a condition of removing the generator, which is the noise source.
Equipment.
Enclosure and all that it contains has to go.
Okay. You could condition that as well.
Are you willing to amend your application here and now so that it Exhibit A is modified to remove the equipment from that location and put it at whatever location you've got the cross at?
Would leave that up to probably Rod, who is on Zoom with us right now. He is an actual T-Mobile representative.
Before we close the public testimony, you'll have an opportunity to have at that point.
Okay.
I mean, staff finds that unacceptable.
Let's continue with the public comment. Let's continue with the public comment because okay. This is the first we've.
Okay. So you can think about that.
That was not, yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Sure to fill out a speaker card if you would, sir. With the secretary.
I do have two hands raised online. Gio Cruz. You may speak.
Mr. Cruz?
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Good evening. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of maybe touch upon a little bit of the history that I think I have, than what I think Aaron has. So Aaron's obviously there, in on my behalf and
Can you
T-Mobile's.
Introduce yourself, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Identify who
Yeah.
you are.
Yes, my name is Refugio Cruz or Geo Cruz. I also work for Sunilai Communications on the behalf of T-Mobile. Okay, great. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to maybe kind of speak a little bit more about the history on the site and what Centerline has. So we've been working on this project, or at least I have, for the last 2 years, I would say. So there's a lot of history that that Aaron nor myself do have since we've picked up this project and took over who I believe, I think it was Qualtech, that was a vendor that T-Mobile previously selected to run, to get this site back into compliance with the through the county of Alameda with the expired CUP. So just the comment I heard earlier about that, T-Mobile or Centerline Communications wasn't taking any necessary steps, I would tend to disagree. I mean, we didn't totally fully comply with what you guys were looking for. And I think that might have just been part of the miscommunication that I was having with Michael Fleming. We had a meeting with him in September of 20, I believe it was last year, 2024, September 17th of 2024, where we jumped on a call with Michael and went over those concerns that that were recorded in a previous hearing. And so what we took from that meeting was that, for sure we needed to relocate the cross, but we were also taking steps towards addressing the sound. And that's the reason why we went with the CMU wall. We didn't have the noise study for that CMU wall completed at the time. And we are actually proactively now working towards getting that completed, which I think will determine the final results, right, of what we can do as far as the ground equipment goes. But I do want to state that we were taking steps, myself and T-Mobile, over the last couple of years. Since I had this project, we were taking steps towards resolving the issue, and we're working directly with Michael Fleming.
Do we have any questions for Cruz, board members?
I gather Mr. Cruz was not present at the last hearing.
That is correct. And to my understanding, was the last hearing back in 2021?
No, 2021 was the first hearing in front of the Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council. And the first meeting in front of this board was in 2022.
Yes, so that would have been before T-Mobile contracted Centerline Communications to represent them with the CFP renewal.
Right. Well, nevertheless, in 2022, we had a 5-0 unanimous vote to continue the project to give you more time for a possible faux tree design and to relocate the site, meaning the entire site, including the enclosure and its contents. So it is a little hard to hear that you've been trying so hard to avoid all of this for 8 years.
Yeah, I think the point I wanted to present was that, working with Michael Fleming, I don't think I would have led T-Mobile or Centerline down a path where I thought we were going to, achieve a failing result. My whole goal and intention was to address the concerns from the HOA and to find a resolution towards that, to allow T-Mobile to continue to operate. That's where I think I was kind of going with that.
Can you just state why the equipment area, the entire equipment area, is not being proposed to be relocated?
Again, yes. So that was definitely part of the discussion that we had with Michael Fleming after going over the meeting notes from, that from the previous council meeting back in 2021, and then hearing out the concerns. He sent me a recording of the last hearing that took place, and we immediately jumped on a call, scheduled a meeting, and we went over those concerns. And at that time, our understanding from the meeting was that the cross was really the only issue that, well, not the only issue, but the to address the equipment, the ground equipment, we would essentially just remove and replace the existing fence enclosure with a CMU wall, and we thought at that time that was sufficient enough to present that back to the board, and to the HOA, knowing that we were also going to be relocating the cross across the property, and then we thought that would have been sufficient at that time to
On
present
what
back.
basis did you feel it was sufficient if you hadn't hired an acoustical study for it yet?
Yes, ma'am. So we didn't have the noise study completed on that design, so that I do. There wasn't, it wasn't necessarily obviously based off of that. It was just based off of
Well,
the
it sounds like
communication
an
that
assumption was made without the data.
at that time it was a proposal. Yes, with the, without the noise
Right, an
study.
assumption that was made without the study and the data.
Correct. Yes.
And that was many years ago.
No, the discussion that we had with Michael Fleming about relocating the cross took place back in September of last year.
Now, but
That
you
doesn't help.
proposed to see a, you propose a masonry wall without any result of it. You didn't order a study before proposing the CMU wall. So. That was an assumption that was made, and it's kind of hard to also believe that there's some kind of miscommunication when you heard the meeting. And I think you did have all the information.
He didn't have.
But he said he got a
He got the
recording of
recording
it,
of it,
and he heard the whole.
Right,
He does not.
Yes.
Yeah. So, maybe you can explain why this has been left for 8 years out of compliance.
Putting that we get multiple requests from the community asking why aren't these orders doing, requiring th certain things to be done. And now having to provide a chart as to what is the status of this stuff. So you guys are part of the exhibit of the community which complains about this.
Sorry, I don't know if that was a question for me, but I think I really don't think I have anything else left to say. But just that's kind of where our stance was, and that's how we basically came out with the design that we recently submitted. But
What
to,
about
sorry, go ahead.
what about the suggestion that you amend Exhibit A to the equipment and move everything towards or next to the proposed new location of the cross?
At this point, hearing the obviously the outcome and the suggestions from you all and today, I think that is the appropriate next step is to explore that option, and I believe awarding or ex providing
You're
T-Mobile can.
beyond explore. Your timing is beyond explore. You've had 8 years to explore.
Yes, ma'am, but the noise study takes 2 or 3 weeks, so like we would need to see what the
We're
outcome of that.
not talking about a noise study. We're talking about moving that equipment to your new location of where the
And
cross is being proposed to be put.
yeah, and I'm sorry, could you repeat the question again, just so I understand?
Are you willing to amend Exhibit A so that all of the equipment goes next to where the cr cross, the newly located cross, would go?
Yeah, I think we would be willing to do that, and provided that we have both the support from the HOA and the church.
I think that based on the memo from the HOA's attorney, they certainly want this equipment out of there where its present location is.
Yeah, and I think going back to Aaron's point that he brought up earlier, T-Mobile and Centerline hasn't had any open meetings with the HOA or conversations. It's been strictly with Michael Fleming and the church. So I think that's something else that we would be willing to do as well, is to have a meeting with the HOA. and also be forthcoming about what we're proposing, where we're looking to put that ground equipment close to where the new cross location's going. And then also again working with the church to get that approved. Ultimately, I want to make sure that the landlord approves that location, is also aware of what we're being asked to do.
Really need an H a meeting with HOA to relocate the
it,
equipment area.
I know
the,
that's kind of hard to
believe.
The same thing goes with the landlord. You know, the landlord's receiving rent for this space, so it's not like the landlord is losing money.
I don't know. I just feel like having a meeting with the HOA is another chance to try to talk them into the leaving it where it is and giving them
Well,
a
I think
CMU wall.
The proposal is to amend Exhibit A right now, assuming staff can deal with that.
Is that something
that's doable?
My concern, I mean, just off the top of my head, is what will this equipment cabinet look like from the Miramar and or 580 or above? I think it goes up, you know, Miramar goes up. I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, a CMU wall is ugly in my opinion, so I don't know what the proposal I would
have some
plans. It's, and I know it's more time, but it's not a solid approval, or
would be the available meeting to
it would
early,
be
earliest
January
earliest.
So yeah, December's the first is booked. January 14th is our next, or would be the first meeting in 2026, and sometimes that one is canceled just due to holidays and out of office. So maybe January 28th would be the first BZA agenda.
The first meeting in January.
Yeah.
They'd have to get their proposed redesign.
Can be done. There can be no excuses. Otherwise, my
January 28th is if it's a scheduled hearing, but staff needs time to evaluate and do, you know, a review of the project. So we can't just receive the plans January 27th.
Okay. So the question is when does staff need to receive the plans if the board hears it the 28th?
I'd say January 5th.
Okay, so if they provide everything by January 5th, so then I guess the next question for County Council is, they don't provide it on January 5th, can we have an automatic denial or something? Or like it's...
Well, you have a couple options today. You could continue it until January 28th and ask for this information. And then it would come forth on the 28th, and we'd have to do this hearing again. It's kind of the issue of you're asking them to change the requirements, and so they need to have an opportunity for a hearing to discuss those changes before you can deny it. So I would not recommend any type of automatic denial. Alternatively, you could deny the proposal, you could deny the application today, and they would have to submit a whole new application. That's always an option. However, I would imagine that would take more time instead of just amending their current application if we continue it.
You know, we had asked for a faux tree design also. So I would like to see it, because this cross is a pretty big eyesore in the whole community.
It's pretty ugly.
Yes, Michael.
I think I said it a little earlier. The church would like that. They're pushing for the cross design. That not well, the neighborhood particularly didn't like it very much, but the church would like the cross design to remain in a new location.
But if it looks like a big eyesore for the whole neighborhood,
does it have to be?
Well, at this moment, it's 65 feet tall. It's 19 feet wide. And the cross members are about 4 feet wide.
I mean, there's nothing stopping them from putting up a cross. If the church wants to put up a cross, they can put up a cross wherever they want to put up a cross, can't they? Not 65 feet.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you stand out on that road and, you know, there's these lone trees, you know, especially up and down the, seems so appropriate that it'd be a tree. I don't know what that cross would be doing there.
Right.
It's totally.
I know that the neighborhood, like, yeah, can't stand it.
We all know that neighborhood.
Well, I think they should propose a faux tree design along with it.
Yeah, which is what we initially said in the first place. And if the church wants a cross, then they have not been at this hearing in any way, shape, or form advocating that. Everybody else is expected to do.
If you'd like to speak, you can fill out a speaker card.
Oh. So, if I guess.
Is the board done with Geo?
Let's finish.
We're feeding up Geo. Okay.
So I do. I do have additional hands raised too.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for Mr. Cruz?
No.
And we'll move on. Okay. You have some other hands raised. I guess we could take this one. Let's take this one first. Christine Chen. We're still open.
We're closed.
My name is Christine Chen. I'm the board secretary for the church, East Bay Korean Church of the Nazarene. I was there from the very beginning of when we had first set up the cell tower. And there was no, well, there was a little bit of pushback from not the HOA, but the owner of the apartment complex that's next door that's having all these issues right now. But I believe that there was some compromise with a payout to them. That was my understanding. And then now that it has been expired, they are complaining about noise and danger. I think during the hearing, they had mentioned that if there was an earthquake, the cross could fall on them. And it could fall on the church as well. It's right next to the church. And when Gio had come to us, we had agreed that we will or willing to put the cross on the other side of the church that's just overlooking the hill. If it fell, it would just be on our hill. It doesn't really go into the street. There is a very large hill on the side with no other residences. And we do want the cross there. You were saying we can always set up another cross that's not as big. It's a financial thing. We had originally agreed to put in the cell tower with the agreement that they were going to build a cross for us. And so if they do move the cell tower, we would like it to still be a cross.
Okay, does it have to be 6 feet, though?
It does not. It's the requirements of the cell tower that needs it to be a certain size and certain width. I think they were saying it has to be large enough for someone to climb in it.
That was the purpose of the...
That was the purpose. For the cell tower, for maintenance and all of that, they need it large enough. So we don't care about the size of the cross. We just want it to be a cross.
Okay, so it could be like a 10-foot high cross or something.
I don't know if that would
not
gonna
work.
Meet the requirements of
Then it needs to be a tree, and then you can put up a separate 10-foot cross.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Because it's about whether it's
appropriate. Yeah, you could do a tree with the cell tower, and you're still receiving the rent for the tree. So it's not like you're not receiving rent. You're receiving money.
That's up to T-Mobile on whether they'll agree to also build us a cross.
That's what we're talking to them about.
Okay. So from the church, I'm just saying that we are willing to move all the equipment and the cross to the other side. That does not affect the HOA at all. And we just want a cross. It doesn't have to be the 65-foot cross.
Okay.
That's where we are.
Could be a smaller cross.
They agreed to build a cross for us. Yes, it could be a smaller cross.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Any other questions for?
I don't.
Christian? Thank you. Okay. Next speaker, Christine.
Jason Granskog, you have your hands raised. You're allowed to speak.
Yes, thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm the new attorney for the San Leandro Miramar Village HOA. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you tonight. A couple of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, I really appreciate the comments from the board. I think the HOA's concerns are being adequately addressed. And of course, the HOA shares the board's frustration with how long this process has taken. That being said, we are appreciative of the fact that this is at least progress now. We are very appreciative of the fact that the church, the spokeswoman from the church, just agreed that all of the equipment can be moved to the location of where the new antenna is being proposed. We would not object to the new antenna, to if it has to be a cross or a faux tree. That's kind of for the board to decide. But as long as everything can get moved to the other side of the church, that's going to address our concerns. Someone else mentioned that a concrete block wall would be ugly, and that's very true. And if you go back and you look at those pictures, we have now a gray fence separating the equipment from the neighborhood. We really, really would not want to have some industrial masonry wall to take that place, regardless of what a sound study says might occur with respect to the sound. Also, someone made a great point earlier that this really needs to be treated as though it's a brand new application, since the original permit under which the site has been operating has long since expired. So the board does need to be considering not things like moving. Don't think of it as though it's moving a site. Think of it as though you would be reviewing this application for the very first time. Would you approve an application with equipment installation 165 feet away from where the cell tower antenna is proposed to be? And respectfully, I don't think you would. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And again, there's no need for a sound study if all the equipment, the generator, the cabinets, and everything is going to be moved to the other side of the church. So in short, like I said, a lot of progress made today. Good things can happen with this. I do think we can work together to find a solution that works for everyone. And if Mr. Cruz or anyone else on behalf of T-Mobile would like to have a conversation with me about that and the way to address the HOA's concerns, I'm all ears. Mr. Fleming has my contact information, so he could pass that along to Mr. Cruz or to the representative who's there right now. And I'd be happy to get on a phone call or a Zoom with them and work with them toward coming up with a way to move all this equipment and address the HOA's concerns. And so I thank you very much, board members, for your time.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions? Thank you very much. Next speaker.
DK, you are allowed to speak.
I got took off mute. Hi, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, yeah. This is DK. And I'm with Miramar Village. I really would just like to second what Jason, our attorney, just stated. I do have a lot of background. I do want to thank staff for aggressively attacking this matter, right? It's been a very long time, you know, since 2017. I can't, from our perspective, it really seems like there's been a pretty gross attempt to kind of T-Mobile to drag their feet and delay and using many tactics. I like T-Mobile as a company and the service they provide, but this has been going on very long. I mean, to put it in perspective, there's been several structures and several towers built since 2017. The whole entire Raiders facility has been built in Vegas since that time. I'm a graduate of...
right.
Graduate telecommunication. I have my degree in business computer telecommunication from Cal State Hayward, and that kind of dated me. I've built data centers across the whole entire United States. I would have been fired 7 years ago if I take this long to complete a project. And we're talking about very huge data centers, right? With a lot of fiber optic cables, computer equipment, routers, switches, etc. I know this is a little bit different, but it shouldn't take this long. But I just wanted to state that I'm just happy that progress is now being made. It sounds like we have a lot of great representation on this call, and I'm looking forward for a speedy resolution to this matter.
I can comment.
I guess the only question actually, so for the HOA and D, Do you have any objections to continuing this to January 28th to provide time for staff to review the modified application in Exhibit A, moving everything?
I don't. I
think aside, and also providing the the plants, the
landscaping.
The landscaping. The landscaping plan necessary for the concrete wall. Hint. T-Mobile.
Who is that? Relate is that question to me?
Yeah, right. As a, do you have any objections to that?
Oh, I don't. I think January 28th is a decent amount of time.
Okay, and that would be my other question, delayed question. Once you are completed, to HOA's attorney, does that okay. work for them?
Thank you, Dee. I guess we can ask Jason that question.
I have another speaker besides Jason. Would you like to speak? Hear that person first? Oh, they lowered their hand. Never mind. Okay, let me.
I did want to raise one more concern, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Just so that you guys may not be aware, but it's my understanding that the cross, for them to demolish the cross, they will need access on our street. I don't know if they have another, unless they know what I don't know, and maybe they have another way to access it, but that will be a concern that we have to address as well. So maybe that's why T-Mobile indicated that they need to discuss this matter with us. Right.
Sure.
That would disturb our neighbors on our street. We have, a couple of elderly residents, et cetera. So I think I heard that concern come up.
Right. That'll have to be coordinated with all the residents, depending on their routing or access.
Needed. HOA's management, right. Whoever's the managers.
Well, we're the board also that's on this call.
So do you think they're clear on what we need next time on the 28th?
Yet. We have another speaker.
Oh.
We're still in. Oh,
and we do have a question you want to pose to
Council for the HOA.
Yeah, HOA Council. Mr. Granskog, are you still there? He may not.
Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes. I didn't know if you heard Member Spaulding's question about if you are how you feel about the one more continuance to January 28th.
Well, I think it depends, frankly, on the conditions of that continuance. And so what I thought I heard the board say was the purpose of the continuance was to allow T-Mobile to amend this application and submit new drawings and specifications to show all of the equipment that's currently located right adjacent to the HOA, 26 feet away, as Mr. Fleming pointed out in one instance, all of the equipment to be moved to the other side of the church building, adjacent to, or at least in the vicinity of, the proposed location of the new antenna. And if that is the purpose of the continuance, then no, the HOA doesn't object to the continuance. But then I heard some other comment about a concrete wall, or drawings with a concrete wall and whatnot. So I do want to be clear if
there's no discussion about leaving it at its current location. The concrete wall was only in connection to hiding the equipment at its new location, so it's not a visibility problem or a sound problem for the new location. And so if there is, and also it's common to require landscaping for the new equipment location, so that it is sufficiently hidden. We also had, we initially said we want a faux tree, which we didn't get at all.
Right, but maybe now if they can get T-Mobile to assist with a cross.
Well, that's a another issue there. But so there's no discussion at all about letting T-Mobile keep it at that location. It is simply providing time to amend the plans to move everything out of that location, period. And in it, the new location of the proposed cross
Faux tree.
or faux tree, preferably.
The entire enclosure
Right.
would no
Everything.
longer be there.
Yeah, so that's the purpose of the continuance. It is to allow them to.
Yes, then thank you very much for the clarification. And yes, with that clarification, you're correct. The HOA doesn't have an objection to continuing this to the 28th. I would clarify, though, and one of the board members also brought this up, there needs to, I would think, also be the what happens in the alternative, because you guys have continued these hearings and given T-Mobile numerous chances to come forward and provide, applications, and there have been miscommunications and whatnot before. So I guess the board, if this is going to be the one last time that they allow T-Mobile to finally come to the table with what the board has been asking them to do for several years now, that's fine. But I just wonder, and maybe this is more a question for your counsel, is what is the alternative that the board can and should do, and should that be something that is mentioned specifically tonight as to what happens if January 5th comes and goes and you don't have the application that meets the criteria that you've set forth tonight?
Right. Well, that's the whole purpose of having the hearing on the 28th. And so if T-Mobile declines to modify its plans in a timely manner, then that would just leave us then to
To
deny
deny
the application,
the
and
entire
they
application.
need to turn it off.
Well, it'd be
That's
more to
their
what staff
choice.
said earlier, that the application would be denied. And then there would be no active application, and then it would be appropriate for code enforcement at that time.
Right, to dismantle it.
Once an application is denied, the same application cannot be applied for within 1 year of that denial.
T-Mobile should be aware of that,
So that
those
would be a
requirements.
12-month delay if they had a denial,
Right.
and
But in the
they couldn't
meantime,
reapply for 12 months.
yeah, but in the
Correct.
meantime, code enforcement can dismantle it.
Great. Thank you. That's getting clearer.
And obviously, it's
Slowly.
been necessary after
Yeah.
8 years.
Yeah, so thank you again.
Everyone
I
has
don't
to
know
have
if
a
anyone has any
complaint.
more questions for me, but I do appreciate that. The clarification's been very helpful. And with all of that, then yes, we look forward to T-Mobile's revised application to move all of the equipment to the other side of the church. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other speakers on the line? Yes.
Yes, we do. Aisha Jefferson, you are allowed to speak.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. Staff, I want to say thank you for really taking this matter under serious consideration. I've been part of this board and listening to these meetings, at least at three previous meetings that we've met up and discussed this, and it's trickled over time. And it's been a long time to get to this point, and really appreciate you guys' support on this. I want to say to T-Mobile and the Church of Nazareth, we are a community. We recognize you guys were necessary for operation in this world in our community, and we want to be good partners. We would like for you guys to extend the olive branch to come and talk to us and be a good partnership here. We have been asking for this for studies, for safety reports, for sound equipment information for years and have not gotten that from us. The door is open. The door is open for us to communicate, and I hope that we would take that under serious consideration. To Mr. Cruz, you said your team came on board to our site on September of 2024. The information that we got at that time when we talked to the on-site team was that you guys were going to expand the existing antenna from where it was to twice its size. So that was a little bit different from what I see on the proposal here. So I'm glad to hear that that was not the case. But again, we have concerns of how things move forward. And we just want to be considered, seriously considered as a community. And we like to have that partnership. So looking forward to that. And again, thank you, staff, for really reinforcing and supporting us.
Thank you. Any more?
We have two hands raised. Jason is the representative for the residents, and then Cruz, Mr. Cruz's hand is raised as well. I'm not sure if you want to speak to either one of them again.
No, if we, I mean, we can always reopen. Unless any other... Mr. Cruz wants to withdraw their application or something.
Let's hear from Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Cruz, you're allowed to speak.
Yes, thank you. Cruz, Gio Cruz from Centerline Communications again. I appreciate what Aisha just mentioned and the HOA attorney as well, representing the HOA. I do appreciate the feedback that we received from them, more so because this is kind of really the first opportunity I've had to actually speak with them. So I will back with T-Mobile and have those discussions on, you know, sidebar with them to figure out how we can accomplish that. But the main reason why I raised my hand was because I just wanted to make sure I understand clearly what the requirement is from the County of Alameda as far as the structure itself is, so that I'm not spending the next couple of weeks going down a rabbit hole with something that I, you know, not quite sure what we're doing. So earlier there was a comment about, you know, moving forward with a monopine, and that was a requirement by the county since that was previously requested. So I just, what came to mind was, we'll have discussions with T-Mobile here over the next few days here, but like if we proposed a faux monopine in the exact location of where we're showing the new cross, and then move the ground equipment to that location as well, which will address, you know, the sound attenuation, and also we can do, you know, work out some sort of landscaping plan. Would it be possible to leave the existing cross there in its place if it's no longer a wireless facility? I guess that was my question. So the whole purpose of that existing cross, there wouldn't be any wireless equipment. It would just merely be there just to, you know, to be the cross that the church is looking for.
I think maybe all the equipment, that would be kind of a question for the, I think that's something you need to ask the HOA and the church. You need to talk to the church and the HOA.
Coordinate all that. Just, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Very well. I can certainly have those conversations after this meeting. And that was the only serious question, main question I had closing out. So thank you.
But no, many of us view.
So maybe that can be relocated as well to some other,
right? Yeah, because it's not attractive.
Okay, do we you said there was one more, is it
I think that's it.
Jason
was the attorney for the HOA.
Does he still have his hand raised?
Yeah, and now DK, who we spoke to already, has also raised their hand again.
We can still close it.
We need any. Okay, I'm going to close the public testimony.
Okay, so make a motion to provide only on the basis to provide time to amend or modify the plans, Exhibit A, to move all of the equipment to the new location. And the antenna, and a new antenna. We want a faux. I really prefer a faux tree. I mean, the church. It's like this cross is
so out of place.
It's really not
appropriate.
Yeah, and with a faux tree, and that assuming also the applicant is aware that they need to have this done by January 5.
Submitted.
This is it. This is the last applicant, this is the last extension this applicant is getting for this location. So I don't know if the...
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Okay. Right. I have a motion from Member Spalding.
No, you. I've got a checklist.
You did it. Okay. 28th hearing. Okay. Advise the application. Move the antenna, equipment, enclosure, and a faux tree.
Right, and also... And provide a landscaping plan also for the new location.
And clarification, if you're asking for two designs, for the faux tree as well as the cross design, and photo sims for both, coverage maps for both, RF reports for both.
I mean, is staff, is that viewed?
I'd prefer just to see the faux tree.
Photo sim for the faux tree and the cross, and construction plans or planning plans for just the cross. I mean, we.
Yeah.
Plans showing the details,
right,
in addition to the screening or whatever they're proposing around the equipment area. As well as photo sims to show before and after. And are we asking for photo sims of the tree and the cross? Are we asking for the design of the tree and the cross on in plans as well as photo sims?
If it is that going to be an onerous exercise? Or is this pretty straightforward? Pretty easy?
They already have the photo sims of the cross. It would just be new photo sims of the faux tree. They already have designs of the cross, so it would just be designs of the new equipment area, which shouldn't be too hard. I think you could ask for both if you wanted.
Okay, and that's not an onerous...
They already have most of it already done, so...
Okay.
I hope there's some way to take note that the faux tree is much preferred.
Well, that's what was also originally requested and right, outright ignored.
So we would see this on the
right.
It, complete then.
And it's then it, the, I would hope, expect staff to recommend denial.
Okay. Understood.
Second.
We need,
I'll second.
We have a motion from Member Spalding and a second from Member Lewis. Can we have the vote, please?
Chair Vovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes. The items continue to January 28, 2026.
Last one. Odd. It's got to be a record.
All right.
Oh, another AT&T. This is telecommunications night.
It is. Okay. Can we have item number two?
Yes. Item number two on the regular calendar is for PLN 2025-120, conditional use permit. For Epic Wireless, on behalf of AT&T, it's located at 2536 Grant Avenue in San Lorenzo, and we have staff planner Maral Esmaili here to present the matter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for your time. So today I'm presenting a CUP renewal application at 2536 Grand Avenue with PLN number 2025-00120. The applicant is proposing a continued operation of the existing AT&T wireless telecommunication facility with no changes proposed to existing on the PG&E tower. And the applicant, Karen Leonard, is attending the meeting online. So if there's any question, you could ask her after presentation. The parcel is located in Eden Area General Plan, land use designation of light industrial and research and development offices. And the zoning is M -1-B4D light industrial 40,000 square foot minimum building site area district, and staff found the project categorically exempt from California Environmental Quality Act section 15301 existing facility. Again, the renewal is for the continued operation of the existing AT&T wireless telecommunication facility with no changes proposed to existing on the PG&E tower. So no changes are proposing to the equipment area specification or antenna area specification. And we hope West County Board of Zoning Adjustments approve the renewal of the conditional use permit for another 10 years. So the site is a large flat parcel, which currently is used as an industrial storage yard. There is an existing PG&E tower on the parcel near the Grand Avenue frontage. Most of the parcel is undeveloped. The surrounding areas are mainly warehouses and for industrial uses, and some developed with one-story and two-story concrete structures. The Oriel Loma Sanitary District is to the west, where Grand Avenue that ends. To the east, there is a mixture of commercial uses and industrial units to the north and south of the subject lot. So the antennas and equipment specification, as I mentioned earlier, are listed based on the latest 6409 approval for AT&T telecommunication facilities. So they would remain the same as currently operating. The 6409 application with PLN number 2023-00055 was approved in 2023. And here you can see the plan illustrating the top of the PG&E tower and surrounding equipment area. And then, AT&T represented the existing 6 antennas and 12 remote radio units, along with the associated ground equipment installed adjacent to the tower. So the existing 100 PG&E lactic tower has associated radio equipment, battery backup equipment, and utility equipment installed in a fenced lease area approximately 30 by 10 adjacent to the PG&E tower. So here you can see the overall aerial view of the PG&E tower, and they're stating that the continued operation of the AT&T facility will not be detrimental to the health, safety, and general welfare of the surrounding community, and also complies with the general preferences of co-location of wireless facilities. AT&T is not proposing any changes to the site as part of the application, and the approval will not change any current impact on the site. The staff found this case in compliance with both Eden Area General Plan at the site is designation as light industrial and research and development offices. Also the zoning ordinance, while the subject property is located in a light industrial minimum lot size 40,000 square foot district. And this district does not specifically refer for telecommunication facilities. So there is some standards that Alameda County development standards stated for telecommunication facilities. In conformance with Alameda County standards for telecommunication facilities, these facilities may be allowed subject to a conditional use permit, policy A-2. Also, according to policy I-2, freestanding telecommunication towers shall be located and designed to minimize visual impacts. Although not all towers will be required to do so, monopoles in area where adverse visual impacts cannot be avoided. At the October 14, 2025, Eden Area Municipal Advisory Council voted 5-0 with one member excused to recommend approval of this conditional use permit renewal to West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. And staff would recommend to the to West County Board of Zoning Adjustment to recommend approval of another 10 years for this conditional use permit. Thank you. And if there's any question, I'm here.
The 10 years from October
The 10 years would run from the date of approval by you.
Tonight, November 12th, 2025.
Kind of a motivation to delay. Yeah, I don't know why it shouldn't be running from the application expiration. Put this application in.
So I was in contact with the applicant. The application was filed at July 28, 2025. But the CUP was expired on October 2024. And the reason, there is no reasonable reasoning for like why they applied late, but it seems that AT&T has so many properties and the property owners are not really good at monitoring the renewal timing. So once they received the notice on April 1st, they had 60 days deadline to apply, and it seems that the applicant has been in communication with the county since June 1st, and then the application has been submitted on July 28th.
The
April 1st.
First of 24 or
2025.
8 months is better than 8 years.
Well, they're not asking for any additions. It's just a continuation.
Right.
Yeah.
But
any of the upgrades they're making are within the existing pole and yard area. So there's no.
No, there is no update requesting now. But if so, they need to apply for a 6409 okay. application.
Can we? Would it be? Would staff? It may be council that if we grant the application that it starts to run on October 22, 2024, the date of its expiration.
The 10 years.
Oh, the 10-year time period.
10-year clock.
Right. Starts October 22, 2024. Other than A.
This might be conservative advice, but as you're aware, the telecoms, there's a lot of federal preemption. And one of the indicators that the court would look at to see if a local jurisdiction has exceeded their authority is if they treat any telecommunications application different than any other similar application. So I wouldn't say it's strictly... I see a legal issue with it, but I would see an issue if it was just this one. It's just grounds to show that this one application was singled out and treated differently than any other telecoms application or any other CUP application for that matter, if they chose to challenge it in a federal court.
Oh, so the question would be, is in our comment that from now on, that those app or that is this a can it be a policy or whatever that the time runs might be a motive.
So I can pass along the policy recommendation to staff.
Because otherwise it's like to the advantage to delay, because then you get an extra year or two by delaying.
Making the assumption.
I think an alternative that the board could explore with staff is also, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is being treated as a continuance, not a new application.
That's correct.
Though it's expired.
Correct. But that's our pattern and practice has been to still, you know, as long as they're in communications and are making efforts to renew the application, we treat it as a renewal. And that could be an alternative that we, if it expires, we don't treat them as renewals. We treat them as new applications. That hasn't been the pattern of practice in the past, so I don't recommend starting it with this one, but that could also be a path to pursue with staff.
Right. Right, is that that could be the new message, but not AT&T, telecommunications applicants, that when you expire, you expire, and it's a new application, period.
But not with this one.
Right, but we just...
They give a grace period for after an expiration. Is there such a thing?
Yeah, 8 years.
8 years.
I saw this. Not an official one.
They, yeah, if they work with the planning staff, we typically... Yeah,
so these folks move. Reacted to a notification.
A courtesy notice sent to April, and they submitted...
Everybody get the courtesy notice.
Well, we're starting that process again. It was... not
I can see how it would get lost in there.
Yeah.
Shuffle.
Yeah.
Right. You know. Well, but at least they reacted to the notice.
Yeah. Been a year. That was lightning fast.
But do we have any other questions, staff? And I'll open the public hearing. If not, okay. Do we have any speakers?
We do have one hand raised, and I believe it's the applicant. Karen, you are allowed to speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, that was a tough act to follow. But I would just like to provide a little background. I will say that the wireless carriers are not great at keeping track of these 10-year renewals. So I do apologize for the delay in that. The courtesy notice actually was sent to the property owner, which is the Oro Loma Sanitation District, not to AT&T. And I don't believe they were copied on it. So it did take a little while to filter over to us. But this was assigned to me on June 5th by AT&T. And, you know, we did file within the 60 days. We did get in contact immediately with staff. So, I just want to be sure you know I worked very diligently to get this moving along, and 8 years was a tough one to follow. But
yeah, right, yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, and but
well, and I think this is a really good site. I mean, we're taking advantage of a PG&E structure. You know, we're not close to residential, but I'm also here to answer any questions you might have about the project or the renewal.
Sounds like the reminder notice should equally be addressed to the telecommunication facility in addition to the property owner.
So we can try to do that, but a lot of things change over 10 years.
Right.
And the landowner is ultimately responsible for what happens on their property. And the conditions of approval typically require that the contact information be updated to planning staff so we have it on our record to be able to contact the correct personnel.
And they will change. And we do appreciate the courtesy notices.
So all the more reason to make sure and give staff that notice if there's a change.
Of course.
Other questions for Karen?
No.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
The washboard set of conditions.
Yeah. Right.
That they're not making any changes.
It's pretty much same as.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation to approve the conditional use permit application LN 2025-00120.
A motion from Member Spaulding. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Santos. In favor of supporting staff's recommendation. Can we have the vote?
Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spaulding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, everyone.
Job. Okay.
I only know that because
City. Okay,
not a, not uncommon.
Item number three.
Yes, item number three on the regular calendar is for PLN 2023-112, conditional use permit to allow telecommunication facility under Crown Castle on behalf of T-Mobile to continue after the conditional use permit expired in 2011, and they're proposing modifications to a new monopine. The applicant, once again, is Crown Castle. The site is located at 10410 Crow Canyon Road under a assessor's parcel number 85-1950-2-9. The site is agriculturally zoned and is located in the Castro Valley General Plan designation of resource management. The project is categorically exempt under California Environmental Quality Act, Article 19, Section 15301, Class 1, existing facilities. Here is a slide showing an aerial of the existing conditions. So the yellow rectangle is identifying a telecommunication facility that's being decommissioned. The red rectangle, did I say try? The red rectangle is a Verizon site that was approved and approved under another, expires in 2032. And the white rectangle is the current application we're looking at this evening. And the blue square is the Crown Castle T-Mobile site. Here are photo simulations of the current facility that we're looking at tonight. It stands on an H frame, and the height of that is 31.2 feet, approximately 31 feet. Here is a street view from Crow Canyon identifying the three carriers: Verizon, which is stands at 24 foot in height; T-Mobile, existing at 31 feet in height; and the AT&T facility stands at 24 feet in height. This matter was discussed at the Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council, and the council recommended for the applicant to provide design alternatives in the form of a monopine and in the form of a faux water tower. It was ultimately recommended for approval in the form of a monopine design. And here is the photo sim for the proposed monopine, showing it from the street as well. There is the other option that was provided by the applicant in the form of a faux water tower that the CVMAC recommended against this design.
Oh, they didn't.
The project also includes landscaping, which would include the installation of 3 Coast Live oak trees, 6 manzanitas, 7 Chaparral white horns, 5 lemonade berries, a water storage tank, and irrigation irrigation plans will be included. It is important to note that the previous AT&T, this AT&T was just approved by this board. This one with the white rectangle was approved by this board in July of this year, and required that these antennas be screened with socks and faux ivy around the fencing, and also included a requirement that landscaping be installed, and that the applicant is having trouble locating a landscape architect to produce such a plan. So it was referred to code enforcement.
That's good.
The findings were able to be made that there is a public need and that it fits the zoning and the general plan designations. Staff's recommending approval for the redesign of the facility from that H standing freestanding to a faux monopine. And there are draft conditions in your packet. Correct.
I know. Yeah, right. Oh, no. The other guy said that they couldn't get a landscape. Yeah. It's just like preposterous.
Especially since there's a pretty good landscape architect just across the border into San Ramon on Crow Canyon Road.
Right. Couldn't possibly find him.
Have any questions for staff on this?
See, where's the water tank at?
The faux water tank that's over here.
I guess I could certainly see why Mac.
I saw it. Here's the water tower.
No, the one that they're going to put in their tank, right?
No, the recommendation from Castro Valley Municipal Advisory was for the monopine, not the water tank.
But there's still a 500-gallon water tank that's supposed to go in for the...
It's for the irrigation.
Yeah, for the irrigation.
That in here, too?
That's the question is, where's that picture? Do we have...
On page 8-1.2, enlarged site plan, there is a label that says new irrigation tank in the like square, the equipment.
Here we go.
It's not a picture. We don't have a simulation.
No, we don't typically get that.
It's a drawing. Yeah.
Okay, so the part of the landscaping around the faux tree.
Okay, so we know it's 500 gallons of that.
Yeah. So my only so this simulation of the tree we're looking at right this, now.
This.
Well, actually, this. Yeah.
L12.2H shows the 500 gallon water storage tank detail.
The faux tree we're looking at, the simulation for the faux tree, that has equipment underneath it, but it has no landscaping. So that just doesn't include the proposed landscape simulation.
Correct. Crown Castle.
Those landscapes.
That's in the set of plans. I'm looking at the simulation.
No. Right. That's probably too,
The simulation does not include that same landscaping.
That's correct.
The drawings do.
Right. The plans do, yeah. Do. Exhibit A or Exhibit B in this
case. We have a timeline for when they need to get installed too, right?
Let me check.
I guess my only thought is manzanita is really flammable. Oh, it's native. To put it electric. But that's not going to stop a fire.
But
thinking of the manzanita, I mean, just in general, a general comment, manzanita is notorious.
Typically leave it up to the landscape architect to show us that it's, you know, meets our water limitations and
the fireproof.
Calling out four of those manzanitas.
Yeah. I grew up with a lot of manzanitas, so I'm very sensitive. And I had to pull a lot of manzanita.
Really?
Right. So is that on our list? Do we have a plant list of fire resistant list?
We do not have a plant list up for fire resistant landscaping. Public Works has a list for street trees, but planning department does not.
The enclosed area.
I think it's fine.
Right, right. I understand that. I'm just kind of noting in general. It's a notation. I want to think that.
Comment noted.
Right.
but it meets their tree requirement as far as the type of tree.
Yeah, I mean, we leave it up to the professionals.
Right, but that would be the thing is a higher, just paid homeowners. Oh my God. And right. and
be canceled. Like,
that's right. And so all the more reason that we are attentive to those types of issues.
Actually, anything combustible.
Yeah, because we're even talking about putting it,
you know what,
right,
Christine,
next to yeah.
It is nice to see one so complete.
Yeah.
This right. is a very nice.
Thank you. I will pass it along to the project planner.
Yes.
Agreed.
We appreciate.
Got it.
All this. That real faux tree.
No.
Not something that's got two sticks sticking out.
Well, it beats the heck out of that H frame.
Sent a little reminder today.
Like the water tower.
No, I thought the water.
The other water tower off of East 14th that we.
And people probably fooled you on it or something.
No, but I mean, it's with the landscape, with the area, the rural area, you know, and it looks natural. I think it looks more natural than the faux tree does, actually.
Is there anybody who wants to speak on this, or could we like maybe entertain a motion if there's no questions from the.
You have anybody in the wings?
You want to open up the public testimony? Have anybody? And
I do not have any hands raised, okay. And I don't see anybody in the room.
And then I will close it.
Okay,
so if you have any other comments or wish to make a motion.
Make a motion to top staff's recommendation. How about that?
Okay.
We have a motion from Member Spaulding and a second from Member Lewis to follow staff recommendation. We have the vote.
Chair Vovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spaulding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Can we can do that. We can make a motion to hear it.
Do we want to delay it?
I haven't read it.
We haven't read it.
Anybody I don't else? Know. If other people can make it, that's fine.
You can abstain?
You can always abstain.
How do you folks feel about that? I've read it and didn't
read
have any
fine.
Corrections.
Okay, if you guys are fine with.
Fine.
Just need a motion to
accept. Make a motion that we accept the minutes. Public meeting.
October 22nd.
October 20th.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Member Santos and a second from Member Siebert to accept the draft minutes of October 22nd, 2025, as is without changes. We have the vote, please.
Chair Vovis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siebert?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Spaulding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
No, I take that back.
You were going to abstain.
I did. I got caught up in the moment. Yeah.
Remember, you can vote even if you weren't here.
That's true, but I haven't read it.
Okay.
We have the approval. Our vote is 4-0. With one abstain. I don't have any staff comments.
Wouldn't staff have the cup?
I know. Or, I mean, I don't have. Well, I'm tired. Staff, would you have any comments?
Please. I would just want to remind all that we have a West Board of Zoning Adjustment meeting scheduled for December 10th at 6 p.m. with one continued item and then the big item.
We only at this time we only have two, the alcohol outlet one and the mosaic.
Correct. There was discussion about adding a code enforcement item, But I said I would need to ask the board.
I think we're going to have a busy
alcohol or code enforcement would be first. But
so
you folks feel about having another
A code enforcement?
How bad of a code enforcement and how many are we talking?
I don't know. They did say the sheriff was involved. So I don't, it's not alcohol though, but I can follow up with you guys tomorrow. I don't.
Yeah, right. Because if it's the sheriff, we need, if it's.
Anticipate it taking a lot of time.
Yeah, because sometimes delay it. You could, as you know, from observing these code enforcements, they're.
I asked them to send me a blurb to figure out what it really is.
Use your judgment, Christine.
Okay. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
trust you.
Right.
Okay. Board announcements. I don't have any.
I only had the comment for County Council, based on my quick review of the Castro Valley MAC summary of the Mosaic project, that because we are being asked to certify an EIR as final, I did not see anything in that staff report jumping out at me as to what kind of findings we would be expected to make to certify that EIR, because you do have to make certain findings to certify an EIR, because there's also overriding considerations if there is if the mitigations cannot be
mitigations. I understand.
So I think that's an important element to make sure to work with staff on.
I will direct that to Aaron. Thank you.
You let Aaron know that.
Right. The bullet points.
But to what are the findings, so that would be helpful for staff at least.
Sure. Thank you.
Have that before the meeting.
We'll pass it along to the staff planner.
Yeah. Be helpful.
Because I did not see that jump out at me on the Castro Valley MAC staff report.
Okay.
All right. If there's nothing else, we will adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.